Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. And we thank you for this day that you have made, for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you, Lord God, because you are God. There is none like you and there is none but you. We worship and adore you, God. And we thank you that you are with us, that you continue to be with us. Lord, we thank you for this church, and we thank you for the church universal. We thank you for your blessing among us. So God, speak now, for we're listening. Use me, the preacher, Lord, and speak through me. Put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. Humble me, Lord, before the cross. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are Savior and our Lord. Amen. And now, today, we're going to be coming from running for eternity. You know, eternity is outside of time. Eternity is outside of time. People always say, how long is eternity? But eternity is outside of time, you see, friends. So we don't have to, we don't talk about eternity in the same way as time. But Paul said to Timothy, I have fought the good fight, and I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And that's what we all want to do, don't we? To keep the faith, to fight the good fight, and to keep the faith. Next slide. Next slide, please. And now we see this person running, giving us an idea of this race that we're in. The scripture is there again, but we are all in this holy race. There is a runner called Usain Bolt, and he is a Jamaican runner. Bolt was born on the 21st of August, 1986, and now he's a retired sprinter at 36 years old. Widely considered to be one of the greatest sprinter of all times at this moment, you know, because somebody will come 10 years from now. But at this moment, he is the world record holder in the 100 meters, the 200 meters, and the 4 times 100 meters rally. He's a record holder. An 8-time Olympic gold medalist. Bolt is the only sprinter to win Olympic 100 meters and 200 meters title at 3 consecutive Olympics. And he has also won 2 4x100 relay gold medals, and so on. The list goes on what Usain Bolt has done. And we Jamaicans were very proud with our, you know, our little tiny nation. And every time he would run around the stage, the stadium with his flags, we were so proud. But Usain Bolt says he didn't exploit any magic secrets to become the fastest human in history. One point they were trying to think through, what did he take, what did he not take, and so on. And so forth. They're wondering if it's the food in Jamaica, you know, all kinds of stuff. All he did, he said, was combine consistent, focused training with obvious talent. He knew he was talented because he was always in sport, but he had consistent training. What insights can we take from his training? He would do resistant training. He would do all kind of core training. Typical core workout would be 3 sets of 30 seconds. He would do weight training, power clean, explosive, barbell, Romanian deadlift, And all of that, the barbell ab rollout, he would do these extensive training. And even when he was in pain, like all the runners, because we know the marathon is going to be in 2 weeks, I believe. But even when he's in pain, he would keep going. Why? As all runners do. Because at the end of the training, there was this medal. Right? This medal, this thing that they're going to get. So they would keep training, running. Paul is going to use that imagery about his life, right? But even in pain, they didn't give up. The runners didn't give up because they know. We hear about these folks running the marathon and they will get sick and they will, all kinds of things happen to them and they would keep going till the end because they want to get to what? The finish line. That's the key for them. Well, friends, as Paul tells us in this text, we are running a race ourselves, a race called life. And we are running it in pain and whatever else we need to do. Next slide. Now, in the gospel text, Jesus said to the to the group, as he used an example, he says, "But the tax collectors standing afar off would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, 'God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted.'" And so in this one moment, Jesus was saying, we should run our own race. Run your own race. I am running my race. You are running your race. We are all individually running our own race. We cannot emulate anyone else. We cannot begrudge anyone else for their race. We ought to run our own race. Here's the tax collectors, and here are these telling how wonderful they are and how they pray to God 5 times a day and they do all the right things. And here's this one man, and he goes into a room and he's beating his chest and he says, "I'm a sinner. I don't do everything right, Lord, but here I am before you." Run your own race. Don't look at folks. Don't look at me. Please don't. Run your own race, because all of our lives are what? Are intertwined with different things. All of our lives, right? We face different things. So the race that God has carved out for you, run it. I think oftentimes we look at other folks and we say, how come I can't pray like them? And how come I can't do this like them? And why can't I sing like this person? And why can't I do that? Wasting time. Run your race. Do what God has called you to do. And do it till you can't do it anymore. Till the end. Run my first point. Run your own race. I'm running my own race. As the bishop would say to us, God has called us and the bishop sends us. Right? God calls us into ministry. When someone comes before us for ordination, or going through the process, as that young man just did, Mark, one of the first questions is, what is your call? We don't ask them what the bishop says. We say, what is your call? Because that call comes from the Lord that is in your heart, in your spirit, right? And if someone cannot articulate their call, like yesterday we had given a person, a candidate, another chance, and we had to meet yesterday briefly. And the question was, explain your call. Because when you could articulate your call, you mean that you have heard it from the Lord. And then the bishop will send you wherever the bishop is doing. Run your own race, because my call is different from your call. Some people will emulate the life of Moses. Some people want to emulate. But what is your call? Run your own race. Number two, When you're running your own race, be like these runners. Stick to your plan. Your plan. Be committed to your spiritual goals. Even when times are tough or you don't really feel like it, continue on your personal growth path. For God is faithful to those who show up even when they may not feel like it. God is faithful. So you stick to your plan. My plan looks a little bit different. Every runner will tell you they have their plan. Some have carbs, more carbs than others. Some are going to do more core. Some are going to do more things, you know, whatever. Whatever they need, whatever their body desires, they are going to stick to their plan to be successful. Christian believers, we have to stick to the plan that God has placed in our hearts for our lives. Right? Our plan. So stick to your plan when you figure it out. Don't deviate. Our problem is trying to emulate and trying to follow other people. Don't do it. It won't work for you because you just don't know what they're facing. So stick to your plan. Next point. You need to build Christian relationships. Develop a relationship with an accountability partner who can walk with you through your personal journey, providing encouragement when needed. Sometimes you just can't run this by yourself. You know, every runner has a trainer. You know that. They have trainers to help them through and keep them on track. And we as Christian believers, sometimes you need what? Most of us need a what? A partner. A Christian partner. I don't mean you should go to the bar and find somebody. Right? They're going to lead you in the wrong direction. But a Christian partner who's going to help you through to the hard times. Who's going to, you know, keep you accountable. Did you pray today? Did you read the scripture? One of the Methodists that we're known for in Methodism, John Wesley used to have this thing, and we still do it. How is the state of your soul? How is the state? When we were in conference a couple of weeks ago, a special conference, as soon as we went up to talk, the bishop, and we had to answer something to the bishop, just regular questions, he started with this. Marjorie, how is the state of your soul? Teasing all of us, you know, but when you go, how's the state of your soul? He doesn't want to hear your whole life story, but we all said our soul is well, because we're not going to tell the whole crowd how the state of our soul is. But that was a John Wesley thing. How is the state? Keep you accountable. What are you going through? Are you reading the Bible? Are you praying? Build Christian relationships that you can trust, because it's not everybody you can trust. I have learned that lesson well. Not everybody you could. So you want to build Christian relationships. Next plan, be ready for bumps. This Christian journey has bumps. Do you know that? It is not a smooth ride. Even when we experience pain, we have to hold on. We have to hold on to what's important. Life doesn't always go our way. When we experience defeat or loss, we need to cling to God and His purpose for us. Spend some time in prayer asking God to provide strength and comfort. So we have bumps, friends. We get sickness. We have pain. We have trials, right? We have doubt. We have disbelief. Be ready for the bumps, because the enemy, every time you say you're going to believe in Jesus or you believe in God, the enemy comes what? To tell you otherwise, to tell you there is no God, to tell you that there, you know, what are you doing with your brain? Be ready for the bumps. And the only way you could get over these bumps is to what? Cling to Jesus. Cling to His word. Amen? Keep moving and trusting God. Keep moving and trusting God. Step forward in some small way toward your goal and toward God. Sometimes the path to the final result will look different than you originally thought. Trust in God's plan. Surrender your need to control the situation and listen for God to reveal the next step in your journey. Trust in God's plan, but you got to keep moving and you got to keep going and trusting in God, right? When you're running this race, you can't stop. Got to but trust God to bring you through. Next slide. You need to have a kick. And I learned that now from the runners. You need to have a kick. You know what they call a kick? Have you ever noticed that world-class runners have a kick? A kick is a technical runner's term. That means when they get to that last 100 yards or so, the runner can still sprint. They get to the last and they're weary and they're tired. And then you'll hear the commentator says, oh, they just picked up, they just got a kick now. That means they got a little energy for the journey. And you know what I think about the older folks? I think about these older folks that I have visited in our church. And you see them there and they're still worshiping God and they want to come to church and they have a kick. They've lived for 80 something years. And you know at this towards the end, you could see them still holding on. Still holding on to God's unchanging hands. You know, it's amazing that final years to just say, I'm going to hold on because what? Eternity is my sight. That thing I'm going to get in glory. As Paul would say, I fought the good fight, but I'm waiting to get this thing that God has promised me. You get a final kick. Every day sometimes you just have to say, Lord, can I do it? Can I keep doing it? And all of a sudden by the Holy Spirit, you get that kick that says, yes, you could do it. You could keep serving the Lord. Next slide. And so I wanted to say, you know, one of our members, Joan, met in a car accident. You know, Joan Sonnenborn. And she was hurt, you know, we thought not as bad, but her neck and the bones, she had to get an operation. And I was thinking about that, so I went to see her. I'd gone to see her before she went to hospital, and then I've spoken to her subsequently. And I'm going to see what I can do today based on my schedule. But I thought about it when I was with that older woman and her husband. They had been married 72 years. She's 91 and he's 96. And yet, sir, they used to always come to church even through COVID. Through COVID, I had to say one time to them, please don't come because, you know, that was the height of COVID. They would come and sit here. And as COVID got worse, I guess the family told them, probably, you know, you should stop. But as I was talking with her, and she was telling me about her years in church and you know, following the Lord and what they're doing, you could see that this woman was what? Running the race till the end. I have never heard all of the elderly people that I have visited through this church, some who have gone home to be with the Lord, I have never heard them curse God or was ever sorry about their faith or was ever sorry about following Jesus or being faithful to their church. Never heard that complaint. They complain about the pain, yes. And they may say, you know, I want to go home to rest. You know, I'm so sick. But I've never heard one of them say, why did I follow Jesus? Why did I even do that? Never heard them say it. Because they're running the race. Never heard one of them to me in all my years, even when I was in Connecticut. And Lord knows I buried many people there. Because it was an old church at the beginning, very old membership. And I've never heard them say this faithfulness, this belief that they are going to finish the race no matter what. And they have gone through stuff. If they tell you, the children they have buried, or what the child they might have buried, and the illness they had, and the cancer they had, and the chemo they had to get, they tell it to you. Yet they love their God and they love their church. They have said it. Has not been easy for them. Have not been easy to run this race. So friends, I'm saying to you on you online, if you think this race is going to be easy, it's not going to be. But God is faithful. God is faithful, and God is faithful until the end. Run the race. We're running the race until the end, because eternity is outside of time. And we don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows where we're going, what's going to happen when we get there. But the Bible tells us that that God has prepared a place, as Jesus told us that. And I would choose to believe Jesus than to believe any other human being here on earth telling me that it's not so. And so as I close this writer, John Stott's dying wish. And the writer says, one of the greatest Christian leaders of the last century was John R. W. Stott, rector of All Souls, Langham Place in London, and a peerless preacher, Bible teacher, evangelist, author, global leader, and friend to many. I knew him over many decades, but I will never forget my last visit to his bedside 3 weeks before he died. After an unforgettable hour and more of sharing many memories over many years, I asked him how he would like me to pray for him. And lying weakly on his bed and barely able to speak, he answered in a hoarse whisper, "Pray that I will be faithful to Jesus until my last breath." Would that such a prayer be the passion of our generation too? Would that prayer be mine? That I will be faithful to Jesus until my last breath. That's how you run the race, right? And at the end, you don't give up, because we know that the Lord is waiting for us. Friends, we run it with bruises. We run it with pain. We run it with disappointment. We run it, but we have realized that, as that poem said, that the Lord is walking with us. That footprint poem, as a man looked over his life, he saw 2 footprints all the time. And then one part of his life when he was going through and it was so bad, he only saw 1 footprint. And he asked the Lord, why was the only 1 footprint? And the Lord says, because when you couldn't walk, I carried you. That the Lord will carry us to the finish line, friends. The Lord will carry you to the finish line. So run the race. Don't worry about anybody else's race. Don't worry about pleasing anybody. As I said earlier, I've done my best here. Some may like it. Some may not want me here anymore. Some may want me, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. I answered the call, and I ran the race. Did I make mistakes? Yes. Did I do some things right? Yes. But all to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. There were days on my knees when I was praying for these, just even these very screens, didn't know where it would come from, but cry out to Lord, "Lord, please help us." All to the glory of God. Never once have I ever done anything here to hurt anyone. Always to make it better for this church and for the glory of God. So God be glorified. Yes, and one day I leave. Could be July, it could be later, whatever it is. I could stand before any man or woman and say, I have done my best. I have run the race here. And I've done what God has called me to do here in this place. And every other person who comes to this church, whatever they have to say or not say, I hope they can stand before God and say, yes, I did the best for my church. Because that's what God wants us to do. Thanks be to God. Amen.